ध्यायामोदबलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीमैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मदसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरी So we come to the third and the last shloka regarding the analysis of the Atman as Nirvikaram. Nirvikaram. You can hear right, Aparna?
Sorry?
You can hear right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so Nirvikaram, the Atman is Nirvikaram. So previously Shad Vikara Vatam Veta and then Tena Tena Hirupena. So different ways to show that the Atman is Nirvikara. So one aspect that I missed in the last shloka, a different way to interpret the shloka is that considering or why should we consider a Nirvikara Atman? So we need in order to know. But what if we don't have to know the change because the change itself is in the Atman. The changing Atman knows itself. Of course, this is not tenable, this is not logical. The changing Atman cannot know its own changes. So that's why many times like we ask people, okay, how do I look? How is my face? How is my hair? Oh, is it properly combed? Although we ask because the change is in us. If we are changing, there needs to be somebody else who has to witness it. So, but if we say that the changing Atman, of course, Atman has a lot of powers. So Atman is, for, if we assume that the changing Atman can know its own changes, then also it is not tenable, it's not logical because tena tena hi rupena jayate liyate muhuhu. So if the vikara and the change itself happens in itself, so there cannot be any witnessing of the change unless there is a changeless Atman which is beyond the change. So if we think about change and changeless, an entity being changing as well as witnessing the change. Witnessing the change means changeless. So how can there be an entity which has change, which is changing, and which is changeless as well? It is contrary, it is something which is not possible. Again, we can say, okay, the changeless is just an illusion, changing is real. We can't, like, it's anyway untenable. At an empirical viewpoint, at the same perspective, we cannot have an entity which changes, yet it is not changing. And we cannot just say that the Atman is changing empirically and ultimately changeless, because empirically, if it changes, then there needs to be an empirically changeless entity to witness it. Ultimate reality cannot witness the change of the empirical world. So this is where the Shastras speak about Brahman as being a Kutastha. So Kutastha Chaitanyam. Why do we need a Kutastha Chaitanyam? Why do we need Kutastha? Can't we just have Brahman alone? No, Kutastha is required because Brahman is beyond everything. So Brahman in essence is beyond everything. Brahman is Advaitam or Advitiyam. That means it doesn't have any relationship. It cannot have any relationship with anything because Natu Advitiyam Asti. There is no duality then what to experience, what to have relation with. There is no sambandham possible there. So such a Brahman, if it is there in the world, then we say that it is Kudastha Chaitanyam. So Kudastha Chaitanyam and Brahman are one and the same. But it is like more specific, as Krishna says in Gita 15th chapter. The Gata Akasham, Mahakasham. Akasham can never be limited in a pot. Akasham is never limited. So even when we say Gata Akasham, there is no Gata Akasham. There is only one Akasham. It cannot be limited at all. But for our understanding, for temporary analysis, we say Akasham. Assume Akasham is limited and we have a Gata Akasham. That's why it's called seemingly limited, or the Upadhi Upadhi Avachinnam. the Chaitanya, which is like limited by Upadhi. Limited means Upadhi can never limit something. Here it is seemingly limited. And a limitation is seemingly, it's not real. So in the same way, the Atman, or the ultimate Atman, Atman which is changeless from a Paramarthic view level, that cannot become a witness to the Vyavaharam. So therefore we accept, we bring in like Kutastha Chaitanyam at the Vyavaharam, Vyavahara level. So the empirically, it is a witness. So, Advaita Makaranda, later we'll say, Chetyo Paragarupami Sakshita Abhina Tatviki. So this Sakshi Bhavam itself is not real. Sakshi Bhavam is also like, means there is something to witness. So, the rope is a substratum. We say that the rope is a substratum. Substratum for what? Adhishtanam for the snake. But, does the rope have that adhishtanatvam or adhishtanam? Can it have the quality of being a substratum? It cannot. The rope passage doesn't have anything. But when we talk about a snake being seen in the rope, then the rope, we say that the rope is a substratum. Substratum hood comes for the rope. This substratum hood is not real, it is just temporary. Because as long as the snake is there, substratum hood is there. Snake is not there, no substratum hood. So rope, we cannot just say that the rope like is there. The relationship between rope and snake is substratum hood. So rope is ultimate, whereas the substratum hood is something which is limited. So that means we have something which represents the ultimate rope at the empirical viewpoint. The same applies to spirituality or this Brahman as well. Brahman, Nirguna Chaitanyam is always Advitiyam. Whereas when it comes to the world, then we call it Akshara Purushan. So Paramatma. They say Paramatma means like always we speak about Paramatma as one who pervades everything. Paramatma means one who is only there. So that is whom we call as Paramatma. And we call like, why do we call people Avatara? Avataras are not Paramatman. They are Paramatman come down, stepping down into the empirical viewpoint. So that means they have rules. They are bound by rules. If not all rules, at least few rules. Ramakrishna Paramahansa, Ramana Maharshi, all had to leave their body because that is a rule. So maybe like one person can, Krishna lived for 120 or 200 years. Ramakrishna Paramahansa lived for 70, 80 years. Ramana Maharshi lived for 70, 80 years. Vivekananda lived for just 30 years. Amma might live for 200 years. It doesn't matter, but they are bound by certain rules. So that means, they are not Paramatman, they are the representative of Paramatman at the empirical viewpoint. And these representatives are not like the representatives we find in other areas like spokesperson or representatives. We say like, oh, we represent you in United Nations. If there is a representative, the representative is not a proper representative. The representative can use his own vision, his own power, and he can do things that he wants to do himself. We see that like of late there have been cases where senators, people like who hold position in US, they have had illicit affairs. How is it? They represent the people. So that, does that mean like people also have extramarital affairs? No. They have. That means they represent the people, but still there is something that is missing. The bond is not clear. They don't truly represent people. So that such kind of gap is not there in Brahman being represented by avataras, because they never forget their goal. Of course it's a avataras, like we don't have to analyze too much about avataras, but avataras have a purpose. Like we have a purpose. We have a purpose. The ultimate purpose for us or avataras is realization. But avataras have a empirical purpose as well. So what is the empirical purpose of a rope? The empirical purpose of a rope is to be the substratum, to reveal itself to the person, that person who tries to inquire. Inquiring person, reveal yourself. So the same way avataras have their own purpose in the world. So each and every avatara has their own purpose. So anyway, all that is different. So Brahman and then Kudastha Chaitanyam. So Kudastha Chaitanyam is as illusory, as non-existing, as that which it witnesses. So Vikaras, as a Nirvikara Chaitanyam, which is Kudastha Chaitanyam, we call to witness it at the empirical viewpoint, ultimately Kudastha Chaitanyam is Brahman. So we can say it, or we can consider it something like Brahman comes, steps down. So a director is directing a film, so he feels, he finds that people are not acting properly, so what does he do? He steps into the role of a character, he becomes an actor, he enacts a scene and shows this is how you should. But after that, he goes back to become a director. So was the actor ever there? The character, as the director, was never there. The director just stepped in temporarily and stepped out. The same applies here as well. So that is what here Lakshmi Dara tries to say, that the Atman has to be Nirvikaram. There has to be something which is Nirvikaram, changeless, in this, amongst this changing world. Of course, change, when we talk about, like, we should not argue here, change itself means duality. No, change itself doesn't mean any duality, because change is not there. Change is something which is temporary. It's like a change in dream world. So dream world, we already, Jagat Gandharva Pattanam, we have already spoken about that. So now everything is from empirical viewpoint, trying to explain logically that there is only one Brahman. So these changes cannot be part of the Atman, because the Atman is, Atman has to witness these changes. So Atman has to be changeless. So changeless and change in the Atman is not logical. Of course, there are more logic involved here. Like, interested people can go through Panchadashi first chapter, a place where Vidyaranya speaks about Vikara, about Brahman being, like, about trying to explain or trying to prove that Brahman doesn't have any lakshana. So there Vidyaranya analyzes this topic. So change and changeless, even Tejomayananda deals with very briefly, so I don't want to enter into all those logic. It's very simple. Change, if something is changing, there cannot be changeless, like that entity cannot be changeless. And the change itself is part of the entity. Change is as good as the entity. We cannot have a change as such. Can we have a change as such? No. Change can never exist without an entity. So then, like, we can say, okay, change does exist as the universal. So universal is not accepted. Universal is a concept, like, that is introduced in Nyaya Vaisheshika system. Universal, it is a guna, quality. It's a quality. Change is a quality. Quality is changing, and quality isn't a dravya. Dravya means an object, substance. So there is a universal, which is called jati, a particular class or something, we can say. So these gunas are considered eternal. Gunas are eternal as well as limited. Nyaya Vaisheshika system says, as universal they are eternal, as present in an object they are not eternal. So that's how Nyaya Vaisheshika says. But that's not tenable for many reasons. One is, it goes against the Shastras. Sateva tavam yedam agre asir ekam eva advitiyam. Before creation only Sat existed. So that means eternality vanishes for these gunas. And we know, can a guna exist of its own? Can we know the guna? Okay, there is a universal, universal called height. Height. Does height mean anything? So go and ask a person outside, like, does height mean anything? Does weight mean anything to you? Yes, of course it does mean. Why does it mean to you? I want to be in shape, therefore weight means something for me. That means what? My weight. It's not weight, my weight. So does weight or height, like, have any existence whatsoever? Does it make any sense? No, not at all. So that means it's purposeless trying to have such a universal entity. And eternality cannot be proved in any way. Their eternality cannot be proved. They exist only when there is something. So do we need a universal? So universal, why do we need a universal? Because we want to relate all the height of all people. So we don't need to relate like that. We don't have to relate like that, something like that. There are qualities, there are many qualities, that's fine. an individual, like, we will have a different value of those quality, but the quality as such cannot exist. That itself means that quality is closely tied to the object, cannot be separated. If it cannot be separated, then there is no need of such a universal. Okay, universal we can accept. It is okay to accept a universal and say, oh, there is something called height and people have heights. That is fine, but heights cannot be eternal because heights are present in objects. Objects are not eternal, therefore heights cannot be eternal. So there are many other logic as well, like we can say that such a thing like what, how height or universal need not be eternal. So this is a simple logic. So anyway, the changes in the Atman, and which itself is changing, changes in the Atman which is changeless, cannot be there. So changes or these gunas are there in an object. If gunas are there in an object, changes are there in an object, then the object is changing, that's it. If it is changing, it cannot experience its own changes whatsoever it may be. So if it can, like, then it is like telling Rama and Ravana sitting being in the same room. Of course, both are great people, therefore they know their truth. So we have to say, like, it is like the US president and the Iran president staying in the same room. You know what happened, like, a few months back when there was a conference where the Iranian prime minister started speaking and people walked out. A lot of the countries, people walked out because they cannot stay in the same place. So the same way this cannot happen, it is mutually contrary entities cannot stay at the same time. If they stay, then like we will have to say like Bhauta system, that it leads to voidness. Both cancel itself, then what remains behind? The Atman. We can't say void as per Nyaya system, we can say like as per Shunyavadam, we can say void. But we don't accept void, that means what remains behind? The Atman, which means what is the Atman? Does it have change? No. Is it changeless? No. Then what is it? This is a witness, mere witness. So mere witness means, what does it mean? Like with respect to change, it is changeless. So when we say the Atman is Nirvikaram, the Nirvikaram is only when Vikaras are there. When Vikaras are not there, the Atman is Atman, that's it. But when we specify the Atman with respect to Vikaras, we say the Atman is Nirvikaram. So when we see an object, like when we see a chair, we say, oh, good chair. When we see two chairs, then we say, oh, this chair is good height. But even when two chairs are not there, we may say this is good height. Why would we say this is good height? With respect to height. If height is not there, still the chair is there. So chair in itself has height, like in this case, chair in itself has height. But like imagine that the chair is very tall. So we say this chair is not small. But so that sentence is only with respect to small things. When we want to explain about the chair with respect to small, we say that this chair is not small. But is it part of the chair? Definitely no. Similarly, Nirvikara Atman is only to prove that our very nature is changeless. Whatever changes happen here, we remain as a changeless substratum. So that is what Lakshmi Rara tries to say here. So anyway, that is in the previous shloka. So all these three shlokas, the main thing Lakshmi Rara wants to prove is that the Atman is Nirvikaram. It is the Sakshi of the changes. As like earlier, Sakshyatoham Ataddashaha and all. Sakshinaha Katam Mesyur Nitya Jnanasya Thetraya. So Sakshi means Nirvikaram. So there is another logic also given here. So let's say that, again for argument's sake, let's say that the Atman is changing. So the Atman is changing. So if the Atman is changing, okay, like as you said previously, changes and changeless Atman cannot remain because tena tena hi rupena jayate yate muhu. So changes vanish by themselves, so that means there will be nothing to witness those changes, or once the changes die. So if we say the Atman, like again, that let's assume that the Atman is changing, can experience itself, then nothing in the entire world, whatever changes we see in the entire world, none of those can experience their own birth and death. So, nacha svajanma nasham va drishtum marhati kashchana tau hi pran uttara abhava charma pradama shanav. So, janmam and nasham. So, janmam is like the moment when we come into existence or something comes into existence. Nasham means the moment when it dies. So, birth and death is seen from a very logical perspective here, which is very tough to explain. So, in short, what is janmam and what is nasham? So, swajanma, one's own janma. Janma means birth. So, birth means, what does birth mean? So, birth means coming into existence. So, that is why janma astitva. So, astitvam. So, astitva means bhavam. Bhavam means existence, presence. Okay, existence here doesn't mean sat. Sat is different. Here it is bhavam means temporary existence. So that is bhavam. So if something doesn't exist, we call it abhavam, non-existence. So there are four types of abhavam that is accepted in Nyaya, as per Nyaya Vaisheshika, and Vedanta also accepts four or five. I don't exactly remember now. Can go through Tarka Sangraha to analyze that. But here two of the abhavam are being used. So I think four is going like two of the abhavam is being used here. So prag uttara, anyunya and atyanta. So before, prior non-existence, after non-existence, mutual non-existence, ultimate non-existence. So in very brief, ultimate atyanta abhavam means atyantam. Atyanta means eternally non-existence, no, never existing. Mm-hmm. So jagat can be called as atyanta abhavam. Andhyaputra, the son of a barren woman, or Gandharva Nagaram is atyanta bhavam. That means always there is non-existence of the entity. Atyanta means always. Atyanta means peak. Peak non-existence. What is peak non-existence? Peak non-existence at all times, beyond time. So that means it never exists. And the second is anyonya bhavam, mutual non-existence. So mutual non-existence. So we take a cloth and a pot. So the pot has mud, the cloth has threads. So in the cloth or cloth, whatever, however it is pronounced, in the cloth, there is non-existence of mud. In the pot, there is non-existence of thread. Or we can just take cloth and pot itself. In the cloth, there is non-existence of pot. In the pot, there is non-existence of cloth. So this is mutual non-existence. Both are non-existing in themselves. Together, both are non-existing. This is anyunya bhavam. So then there is praga bhavam. Prak or praga bhavam. Together, praga bhavam. Prak means before. So before non-existing. So we can say that like the tree, we don't see a tree. So there is non-existence of the tree, and then we plant a seed, tree comes up. So when we see the tree, we say, oh, praga bhavam, previously it was not there, previously non-existing. And then like the tree dies, we cut the tree off. Then we say uttara bhavam, or it is also called praga. There is another word for it, I forgot the word, like prag and... Okay, I totally forgot the word. There is prag is prior, prag. It's prak is the word, so we can call it praga bhavam together when it becomes one word. So uttaram means afterwards. So after, so we say like after so many years, this tree will not exist. So when we consider janma, birth and death, so birth, so before birth, something like birth of a pot, we say, so before birth, the pot was not there. The pot was there as mud. So all those like we should not use. Pot was there as Brahman. All those we can't use, like we are talking about names and forms. We are talking about the object. So the object means it has nama rupam. So that means we are speaking about the object, not its essence. not its karanam. We are not speaking about its karanam, but we are speaking about the karyam. The karya vastu, yes. Karyam is navarupam of karanam, but we are talking about karyam and not karanam. Karanam undergoes some change and becomes karyam. So, we are talking about karyam. So, before the pot came into existence, the pot came into existence, there was pragabhavam of pot. Or like now, not before, now. So now we say pragabhavam. So sometime before this, the pot was not there. And after the pot dies, pratyekabhavam, I think it is. But uttara abhavam. Uttara means afterwards. So uttara abhavam of pot. So it is like we can draw a line. So we draw a line. Just draw a line in front of you. And then split the line into three. So put two vertical lines for the horizontal line. So we have three parts. The first is pragabhavam. The second is bhavam, existence. The third is uttara abhavam. So birth, what is birth? Praguttara abhava charama pratama kshanav. So this is a very complex word like he has put together. So we have to say pragabhava, uttarabhava. So that is first. And then charamakshanam, pratamakshanam. So kshanav means like it is two. Therefore it is not bahuvachan, dvivachan is being used here. So pragabhava, charamakshanav, kshanam, uttarabhava, pratamakshanam. So, again, he was speaking about janmam and nasham. So, janma is pragabhava charamakshanam and nasham is uttarabhava pratamakshanam. So, pragabhava charamakshanam. Charamakshanam means last. So, what is janmam? When we say janmam, that is the last minute when pragabhavam exists. The last minute of pragabhavam is when something comes into existence. So that is called janmam. Janmam means the last. Of course, last and then coming into existence. So that is what we call janmam. So we have to mix that. One second, it is the last minute of charamak, the last minute of pragabhavam. Immediately it comes into existence. That last minute, existence comes. So we can consider it as 2 minutes there, or 2 moments. But it's not two, it is just one. So the last minute of pragabhavam is when the entity is about to come into existence, which means janma. Birth means before existence, janma astitva. When something takes birth, it comes into existence. So that means birth is one moment, existence is the second moment. So birth is what? Birth is the pragabhavam, the last moment of pragabhavam. And then similarly, death. Death is what? Existence, last moment of existence and then death. So what is death? Death means uttara abhava pratamakshanam, the first moment of uttara abhavam. Past non-existence. So it starts to non-exist, therefore it is first moment. So that is janmam and nasham, birth and death. So birth means the last moment of past or prior non-existence, whereas death is the first moment of posterior non-existence. So this, what does this mean? So why all these logical terms? Because some people cannot understand normal terms. Some people require Nyaya Shastram, some people require logical analysis. Therefore, Lakshmidhara uses logical terms. We can also say that maybe at that time people were experts in logical. Lakshmidhara's time is around Vidyaranya's time. So Vidyaranya himself used a lot of logic in his Panchadashi, because that was the time when Nyaya Shastram was at its peak, so that could be the reason why this is all such logic are being used. So what does this mean in simple terms? That means birth and death mean that it is like within birth and death an entity exists. At birth and death it non-exists. So that, remember that three parts we drew and two vertical line. So in between those two vertical line there is existence. Beyond that, those two line, including those two line, there is non-existence. So if we say that the Atman can change and experience its own change, so what is change? Shat vikaram, six vikaras. Six vikaras are encapsulated by janma, astitva, vriddhi, parinama, apakshaya, nasham. So janma and nasham. So that means it has to experience its own janma and nasham. So nacha svajanma nasham va drishtum arhati kashchana cha. And so if it is not enough that like these changes take birth themselves, vanish, so there should be a changeless, independent Atman to enter it. If that is not enough, na svajanma nasham va, svajanma nasham va, janmam or nasham, drashtum arhati, drashtum, to see janmam and nasham, svajanma nasham, svajanma, svanasham, one's own janma and nasham, drashtum, to see arhati. Arhati means like ability, capability. Kashchana, not anyone, anyone, kashchana, anyone, not, na. So that means no one can see their own birth and death. Why not? Because tauhi, those are praguttara bhava charama pratama kshanam. Kshanav, because they are Tandlava. So because they are like things that janmam and nasham is where there is a transition from non-existence to existence, and janmam and nasham, the moment of birth and moment of death itself is non-existence. So one is the last minute of post non-existence, the other is the first minute of prior non-existence, which means both are non-existence. So at both the time, janmam and nasham, the entity doesn't exist. If it doesn't exist, then how can it experience its own birth and death? So if it doesn't exist, how can it experience its own birth and death? If it can't experience its own birth and death, so that means it cannot be like it requires a or another changeless entity, Nirvikaram entity, to witness its own birth and death. So the logic that, or the reasoning that the Atman is changeless and changing, that means the Atman is changing, it experiences its own changes, cannot happen because there is no entity which can experience its own birth and death. So one, the Atman is not changing, which we know the Atman is not changing because it is a Sakshi. And two, changes are not part of the Atman, because if they are part of the Atman, then like it cannot experience it, because that means the Atman is changing, which means it's janmam and nasham, it cannot experience itself. So this means that anything that is present in the world that is changing, that has a birth and a death, that requires a changeless substratum, which we call as the Atman, which is Brahman. No, different names all mean the same thing. So that means we see a lot of things changing here. So changes are happening day in and day out. Flights are vanishing. Flight crashes are a lot happening these days. Killing, murders. Economy is going up and down, like health reform is happening, climate bill is being passed. There are a lot of changes that are happening around in the world. So people are speaking that like global warming, global meltdown. So both sides, like people are speaking a lot. So a lot of changes are happening within our own body, changes are happening outside as well. So all these changes are not me. Why? Because I am the Atman. What is the Atman? The Atman is Nirvikaram. The Atman is Nirvikaram. So through these three shlokas, the Lakshmidhara says, Atman is Nirvikaram for sure. And this Nirvikara Atman is separate, distinct from Vikaras. Okay, I am fine like with Nirvikara Atman, but well, the Atman itself, Atman is complex that it can itself change and experience its own changes. So that is not possible. So Atman is distinct from changes. So this world, that's why Shankara says, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So Jagat is change. Change is what is called as Jagat. So Jagat means constantly changing. Anityam Asukham Lokam. So Jagat means changing. The Atman is changeless. So the changeless Atman I am, if we understand, if we remember that I am the changeless Atman, then we will be able to face these changes boldly. So this doesn't mean like a person who remembers the changeless Atman will just remain like a rock, not doing anything. We see Mahatmas like Amma, even Paramatma and Balakrishna are speaking. So they can also say like, oh, everything is one Atman and just lie down and sleep. They don't do that. Why? Because those are two different perspectives. Changes happen, like we are part of the change. What is part of the change? Our body, mind, intellect, ego is part of the change. The I inside me, the real I, is not part of this change. So if we understand this dual I, then that is what is called moksha. So that is moksha. Moksha is when a person does changes from the ego perspective, ahankaram, if all changes happen, but I am changeless. So all these changes, we will try to face these changes. So something is happening bad, we will try to help it. Our economy is going down, so let me do some shopping so that economy is helped. So I see somebody as struggling, suffering, I'll try to help the person out. So that does happen, like I see somebody stealing, I catch hold of the person and scold the person. So I do good things, I do like things which are fierce, I shout at people like when it is required. So I do all those, but internally I know that I am the changeless Atman. So if Mahatmas thought that they were the changeless Atman, then no action can be done. That's why Bhava Advaitam Sada Kuryat Karma Advaitam Na Karhechit. Advaitam is always with Bhavam, internal Bhavana, it's not Karmam. Karmam itself is Dvaitam. So actions, everything whatever is happening here is Jagat Gandharva Patanam. So let me do it perfectly. So if I am killing a person, let me do it properly. I can kill a person like by stabbing him 10 times. But if I am killing the person, then let me be a Jason Bourne and shoot the person in such a way that nobody can find out for at least for some days. And then like I will reveal myself smiling. I am the killer, you didn't find me. So that is how a true actor will do. So that is what we have to do. So externally, everything is fine. We don't have to get rid of actions. We don't have to get rid of the world. But internally, we should always remember that these changes do happen. But I am the changeless Atman. So this means that when we try to do some changes, when we try to reform a lot of people and it doesn't work out, we'll still be happy. If it works out, still we are happy, we are not excited. Na dveshti sampravrittani na nivrittani kaankshati. So when good things happen, like, okay. If bad things happen, then not so fine. So that should be the attitude of a sadhaka, that like if something good comes, then still happy. If something bad happens, still happy, because that is part of the world. Bad and good and bad are part of the world. I am the changeless Atman. So may Amma bless us so that like we may be able to remain at the changeless Atman. We'll continue later. Namaskar.